Well, good morning. It's a blessing to be here this morning with you all. I was blessed by the song service already this morning. The songs we sang, thank you for your thoughts you shared there. It's a challenge to me. Can I glory in the hard things that, or can I rejoice in the hard things that God puts in my life? So this morning, the title of my thoughts would be The Test of True Wisdom. So I want to talk a little bit about wisdom this morning. And it was just a study I did on the two wisdoms that the Bible talks about. And I'll take you through the study that I did on it, and hopefully you all can be blessed. I'd like to pray before we get started this morning. Dear Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this day you've given to us, Lord. We thank you for life and strength this morning. Lord, thank you for that your mercies are new this morning. I pray you'd be with us here today, Lord. Pray you'd be with me as I share here, Lord. I pray you'd take my thoughts, and I pray you'd multiply them, Lord, and pray you'd they could be a blessing to those that are here. I pray you'd be with us here. Pray your presence would fill this place. Pray this all in your name. Amen. So we know the Bible talks a lot about wisdom, has a lot to say about wisdom, but it talks about two different wisdoms. There are it talks about the wisdom that's from God and the wisdom of this world. And these two wisdoms are two completely different things. One is of the kingdom of God, and one is of the kingdom of this world. So first of all, what is wisdom? The Webster's calls it the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships, or to have good insight on a situation. So let's read James 3, 13 through 18. James 3, verses 13 through 18. Starting in verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we see here the two different wisdoms. The wisdom that is from above and the wisdom that is of this world. We see that the wisdom that is from above is described as a meek wisdom there in the end of verse 13. A meek wisdom that takes all the pride out of being wise, the boasting of being wise. It's a complete different wisdom than that of this world. It also describes the wisdom of this world as the words of wisdom of this world describes it as earthly, sensual, and devilish, which simply means of this world, of this flesh, and of the devil. Definitely not of God. Now I'd like to look at what fruits will be coming from the man that has earthly wisdom and the man that has God's wisdom. So verse 13 says, it says, is there a man among you that is wise? Let him show meek wisdom. But if the fruits are bitter, envying, and strife, this wisdom is not of God. It is not true wisdom. So I'd like to put up here on the board the two different wisdoms. So the first one we see here, the fruit. So first we're going to talk about the wisdom of this world. So the first fruit we see here, the wisdom of this world, is bitter envying. What is bitter envying? Proverbs 27:4 says, "Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who can stand before envy?" I'm going to put bitter envying up here. I had to ask myself, do I have envy in my heart? Maybe it's there and I don't even realize it. Maybe I have envy in my heart and I don't realize it's there. I trust, I don't want it to be there, but if it is, I want the Lord to show me if I have envy in my heart. And it would make me realize that if there envy can come in my heart, I don't realize it, and that is of the wisdom of this world. The next one we see is strife. What is strife? Proverbs 29:22 says, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgressions." Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Do I esteem others better than me? It's something that I desire to work in my life. If I esteem others better than myself, it takes away all strife. It takes away all bitter envying. It takes away pride, if I esteem others better than myself. And the next one we see is in verse 16. It says, "For envy and strife is, there is confusion in every work." So the next one would be confusion. What is confusion? We all know what confusion is. You know that a game some people play called Confusion? It's confusing. You don't know what's going on. Nothing seems to make sense. That's what confusion is. If there is confusion, that is of the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "And for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." So if there is confusion, God is not the author of confusion. And the last one here is, in the last part of verse 16, it says, "Where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." So put on every evil work. What is every evil work? It's probably just what it sounds like, every evil work. Colossians 3:8 says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth." He's telling us to put off these evil works. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Seems like one evil work produces another and they build on each other. So that's the wisdom of this world. But what about the wisdom that is from God? It's a completely different thing. Let's see. Verse 17 tells us there what fruits will be coming from the wisdom that is that God gives. So the first one we see there is purity. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." God wants us to have a pure heart. He tells us in Proverbs 24:3-4, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." I have all these scriptures wrote down here, so I don't feel like I have to turn to them all. The second one we see here is peace. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Do I have the heart of a peacemaker? Someone with a heart of a peacemaker is pleasant to be around, and they don't cause strife, and the love of God flows from their hearts. Proverbs 17:1 says, "Better is a dry morsel with quietness therein than a house full of sacrifices with strife." The next one is gentleness. A gentle person is free from harshness, sternness, or violence, and pleasant to be around. This comes from the wisdom of God. If I have the wisdom of God, it says my fruits will be gentleness. I picture Jesus as being a gentle person. He was gentle with children and with everyone he met. Number four is easy to be entreated. Another word for easy to be entreated, I think, would maybe be compliant. Or when someone comes and talks to me, if I'm easy to be entreated, I'd be open. I want to have more of that in my life. When people come and talk to me, I can be open to their instruction or to their insight on my life. And this heart will come with the wisdom that God gives. And the next one is merciful. Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." God has shown us so much mercy, and it's only right for us to be merciful to our fellow men as well. Psalm 36:5 says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." Psalm 57:10 says, "For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds." God has shown so much mercy, and he shows so much mercy to the world. And we can show this mercy to the others around us. Number six would be good fruits. John 12:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So it's saying here that we cannot bear fruit unless we die to ourselves and in our flesh. So that means to have the wisdom of God means to be dead to ourselves, and our flesh must die. So this wisdom that God gives, we must be dead to ourselves and dead to all selves, so that we can produce good fruits. The next one is not partial, without partiality. What is partiality? 1 Timothy 5:21 says, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one another before another, doing nothing by partiality." So according to this verse, partiality is a serious thing in God's eyes. But if we are filled with the wisdom that God gives, we will not be partial. And the last one is hypocrisy, without hypocrisy. Isaiah 32:6 says, "For the vile person will speak vilently, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail." Jesus said that the leaven of the Pharisees was hypocrisy. They lived a double life. If I have the wisdom that is from God, I will be the same person at home and at work as I am at church. I want to work on this area of my life to where I'm not living, to where I have one purpose in life, and everyone that sees me knows me as the same person, and I'm not a different person depending on who I'm around. Then the last verse there in verse 18, he goes back to the fruit of peace. It says, it's first pure, then peaceable. And he says that if we have the wisdom that's from above, we'll be peacemakers, as we see in verse 17 there. And he's saying that those that make peace are sowing seeds of righteousness. That was a beautiful thought to me, that by making peace, I'm sowing little seeds of righteousness. Now, I want to leave with one more verse that was a real blessing to me. In James 1:5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, and I believe that's talking about the wisdom that is of God, it says, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So if we lack this wisdom, we can ask of God, and he will give it to us. It says, he giveth to all men liberally. So that's all I have this morning. Thank you for listening, and I hope you all could be encouraged with this.